So 1 week ago tonight was our celebration of Simchat Torah. A week ago, it feels like forever and a day. For those of you at home, if you want to slide your slider all the way over from the black screen to see everyone or to pin the Bima footage, you'll be able to see me a little bit better that way. But we know where we are in our Torah portions because we just celebrated Simchat Torah, right? Zev's going to teach us tomorrow morning that we are at the very beginning. In fact, at the beginning of the beginning, as we read the first words of Torah, the book of Genesis, Parshat Bereishit. It's the first chapters of Genesis. We've institutionalized them here on our windows, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then Shabbat. But it contains all of our earliest stories about creation, about Adam and Eve, about Cain and Abel. It's actually everything up until Noah. He comes at the very end of the portion, and we'll hear his story next week. Now, we rabbis have a Facebook group, and someone earlier this week asked, what connection are you possibly going to make between the events and the horrible things of this week and the Torah portion? So a couple of my colleagues said that they might preach on the tohu vavohu, the chaos and destruction that came before the order of creation. Some pointed to Cain and Abel, the story of murderous brothers, and the text, your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground. Some noted that it probably was actually a pretty good thing that Eve ate that fruit from that tree because it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I wasn't supposed to be till later on that I cried. So that we human beings could know the difference between good and evil and that we could see when evil comes and name it and say that's what that is. It also is that notion that knowing the difference between good and evil helps make us more godly. Some of my colleagues plan to talk about the distinguishing, the separation between day and night, of light from darkness. There was evening, we are told, darkness, and then there was morning, and that we should have faith, even in dark times, that the light will come. And some were working with the text where God calls to Adam and Eve in the garden, Ayyaka, where are you? Where are you, human beings? I have pretty smart rabbi friends, right? And I also just got away with giving you five sermons in less than 1 minute and a little bit of shorthand. For me, I've been fixated on the line in the creation story from day six, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Vayivra Elohim et ha'adam betzelmo, betzelem Elohim bara otam. God created the human being in the divine image. In the image of God, God created humanity. Tzelem. Tzelem, the word for image, the likeness, the form, the reflection of God. Human beings are created, B'Tselem Elohim, in the Tselem, in the image of God. I've been fixating on this line because my Facebook feed this week has been filled with Tselem Elohim, with the images of people and their stories, posted by people in Israel and shared around the world. I don't know if it's been in your feed as well, but these are baby photos and children at the beach and teens horsing around with their friends and newly engaged couples and young parents and families and grandparents, images of people who were murdered by the terrorists at bus stops, at shelters, in orange groves, in apartments and in homes, images of those captured by the terrorists, abducted to Gaza, including toddlers and Holocaust survivors and an 85-year-old grandmother on her own golf cart. There have been images as well of some miraculous survivors who were somehow spared or escaped or saved. And in each one of them, I see the Tselem, the image of God shining through. And I wonder, How was it possible for these Hamas terrorists to stop seeing that Selim? Because if you see that Selim in another human being, you don't murder concert goers at a music festival. You don't kill children in front of their parents or parents in front of their children. You don't commit atrocities. I can't even bring myself to name on this bima. You don't kidnap toddlers or abduct grandparents. What cataracts occluded the eyes of these killers? What sense of Selim did they turn a blind eye to? How can one human being do this, do any of these things to another? How can one image of God do this to another? And there are photos already in my feed from Gaza. Yep. And horribly, we can imagine, and we fear there will be more to come. Photos of Selims, of images of God amidst the destruction and the devastation that has been visited upon them and surely will continue to come. Innocent Palestinians who are caught. They are caught on the one hand by the murderous thugs who ruthlessly rule them, who do not care for their lives, who are as indifferent to dead Palestinian children as they are to dead Israeli children, who do not see the Palestinian citizens among them as Selim either. And on the other hand, the Israeli army, who are trained in ethical warfare, as if that wasn't an oxymoron. How crazy is that? But they are trained in ethical warfare. They seek not to hurt civilians as best as they can, and they will struggle mightily to see the Selim right in front of them. And what of those Hamas terrorists? Are they Selim also? Do they have an image of God still within them? How can they not be? They are human beings created in God's image. And yet how can they be created in God's image when they have done such ungodly things? So, Rabbi, a friend of mine on Facebook, who suggests that one can do such heinous things that somehow you renounce the Selim that is in you. You give it up, you forfeit it, as you are then capable of such awfulness. I don't know the answer to this one, but I don't think that that's true. I think by our very nature as human beings, we are Selim. We have that Selim. We are that reflection of God. But what we do with that Selim of God in each of us is up to each of us. And I think you can make it so small within you that you can't see that Selim in others. You can shrink it or starve it like a muscle that atrophies. And if you don't use it or nurture it or enrich it, it may not be able to help you see the Selim in someone else. This we must guard against. This we must prevent, the diminution of our own Selim. We have to nurture our own internal image of God so that we can see that Selim in others. And fortunately, my friends, my Facebook feed has been filled this week with examples of that as well. Large acts of bravery amidst the terror of battle, small acts of kindness amidst the horrible aftermath, times when people could and did recognize the humanity in others. You may know that Israel has had huge protests week after week after week over the past several months, deep divisions in Israeli society over what the government wants to do, the ruling coalition about judicial overhaul, a huge split between right and left. There are splits in Israeli society as well between religious and non-religious, as if being a Reformed Jew meant you weren't religious. Never quite got that one, but the notion, however, has been, in particular, for the last umpteen months, hundreds of thousands of Israelis have been coming out every Saturday night in huge protests. There are huge networks of organizations devoted to democracy and civil protest. Rabbi Kelman, the one I mentioned at the beginning, who told us we had to have a vibrant, kicking, beautiful Judaism, she wrote as well that the mobilization of civil society in the aftermath of the attacks has been nothing short of inspirational, and the Jewish people at its best. Right and left have come together. Religious and non-religious have come together. She writes, the protest movement and its umbrella of organizations have morphed overnight into a full range of home front emergency services, blood drives, supplies to the IDF, hosting families who have been evacuated or who have had to flee, driving people to and from the border. They are caring for families who have been dispossessed and forced out of their homes. They are caring for the wounded physically and mentally. They are organizing Shiva Minyanim for all those burials that they must go through, and being there to support one another, right, left, whatever, set aside the difference, because they see the tselem in each one of them. A couple of different Israeli friends of mine have posted about going out to get something to eat to one of their favorite restaurants, and two of them each said, only to find in two different places, that the restaurants actually have had signs up their clothes, they have no food to sell to their customers, because they are packing it all up to distribute it to those who are in need. And one of my friends said, oh, great, then he took off his jacket and he jumped in with the restaurant staff to help them pack boxes. And I saw a piece just earlier today. There are stories, and there's truth somewhere in there of some range or another. There was a famous restaurant in Tel Aviv that packed up food and distributed and sent it down south to the army, only unfortunately to have it returned, because in the army they only serve food that is hechshered, that is kosher, because of the Orthodox soldiers that are there. And this Tel Aviv restaurant, wanting to help that, and to help the many in Israeli society who observe dietary laws and keep kosher, shut down their restaurant for 2 days to kosher the kitchen from top to bottom. And in that way, they can be best of help and reflect the tselem in them and see the tselem in others. There are instances, my friends, of tselem all around us. The image of the divine surrounds us everywhere we are, in the somber streets and squares of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, in the tense rubble of Gaza, in the deeds of goodness and kindness that nurture the tselem, the image of God in each one of us. On this Shabbat, when we read of the holy act of creating human beings in the divine image, even as we reel from the unholy acts of those who failed to see the tselem, we pray, O God, may we always see the tselem that you, O God, have implanted in each one of us, and treat each other, person to person, as each other bears the face of God. King Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will, and together we say, Amen. Years ago, long ago, in Israel, the song came up noting that the only way that our world changes is when we see one another, when we see each other, and that ani va'ata, that you and I can change our world.